Well, turn to 2 Corinthians. We've been talking about ways to overcome, ways to have victory, ways to defeat the enemy when he comes against you. Now, the enemy's primary way is to come against your mind. The word, the term devil, Rick Renner says, is not a proper noun. It's a job description. It means to throw. Like throwing a ball, or throwing a rock, it means to throw in order to penetrate. And it means to throw and throw and throw and throw and throw until you get through the wall or the object that you're throwing it at. And the devil comes with some idea, some concept. He's throwing it at you in the hope that you will believe that, that you'll buy that. He's going to throw it and throw it and throw it in order to walk through your mind and establish a stronghold. Now, there are two kinds of strongholds. One is the one the devil sets up, which imprisons you until you can't move forward. And then there's the stronghold of the Word of the living God, which becomes a fortress that protects you. You can be protected by God's Word and by His stronghold. You can be imprisoned by the stronghold of the devil. So we have to recognize demonic thoughts and we have to discard them. We cannot allow the devil to keep hitting our mind. You know, if I came along and hit you in the head, about the second time I did that, you'd be wanting to speak to me, back off from me, or something. I hope you would. Well, the devil keeps at it and keeps at it and keeps at it. But we have weapons. The weapons of our warfare are mighty. They're not carnal. Carnal is a fleshly weapon. It's what you would do in flesh, in body. What would it be reasonable and logical? What would occur to the senses to do? That verse is verse 3, chapter 10. We walk in the flesh. We do live in this body, but our war with Satan is not in the body. It's in the realm of the spirit, and it's with spiritual weapons, not carnal. And then it says, though we... For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. You want to pull down Satan's stronghold as it comes against your mind. Everybody, most everybody's had a thought you couldn't ditch it. It just kept coming and kept coming. What if, what if, what if, what if, what if? It kept coming, and it's the devil's attempt throwing that concept, throwing that idea, throwing it at your mind, throwing it at your mind, throwing it at your mind in the hope that you will allow that to sink into your mind, that it will become a part of your thinking. And if it's demonic thought, if it's the devil's thought, it's contrary to the scripture, it's going to imprison you. Now, you know, we live within the shadow of the Almighty, sheltered by the God who's above all gods. This I declare, He's my fortress. God builds a fortress. He puts you in the fortress and He protects you. In that fortress, He protects you by the Word and by the Spirit. We like the stronghold of the fortress. We are not interested in the stronghold that imprisons us. Now, what we're talking about the last 3 weeks is how to get rid of those thoughts. We've been tiptoeing. We'll do a little less tiptoeing today. Now look, casting down imaginations. That's the first word here. Cast that down, throw that down, get rid of that thought. Recognize this is not God. You know, people have come for prayer and they said, well, the devil keeps saying to me, I wonder why you keep listening. You're supposed to cast that down, get rid of that thought. And you have to replace it with a thought of heaven. You have to replace it with a thought from the Word of the living God. Your first resource to pull down every stronghold is to fix your eyes upon the Word. And we covered that in Proverbs 4, where it says, pay close attention to the Word, listen carefully to the Word, fix your eyes on the Word, for the Word brings life and health. So I have to recognize a stronghold that's manifesting in my life that's contrary. It's not good news. It's contrary to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I have to go to the Word. And a lot of times the Lord will give you a specific word to combat that. I'm not talking about reading the Bible through. I'm not talking about reading an entire chapter. I'm talking about fixing your attention on a verse of Scripture to combat the thought that you know you shouldn't be thinking. Have you ever had that thought that should go away? And yet it comes back over and over again. Well, the first resource is the Word. Now, if we look at Proverbs 4 and keep your finger in Corinthians, this verse you probably know. This is just in review. The Word of God is quick and powerful. The translators say it's living, active, energetic, full of life and power, effective. The Word of God is full of power. The Word of God is full of power. It isn't just a book. It isn't a resource that's interesting reading. It isn't just a book of history. It is the power of God. It's God speaking to me. It infuses. The more I read, the more of God's power. You can get power from the Word and the Word alone. You can get healed by the Word and the Word alone because the Word is anointed. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And so that Word is anointed and it has power. And I go to the Word because I need the power of the Word to run this thought that I shouldn't be thinking, to run it out of my life. I want to disconnect from this thought. I'm not interested in thinking this anymore. Now, you can't help what you think. Sometimes thoughts just appear. But you are responsible to take action against the thought. And so now turn back to Corinthians again. The word is your first resources. It says, cast down imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. As we grow in God, we recognize a thought that's not really God. You would never hear from God. You know you're going under. There's no hope for you. And yet people will come and say, you know, there's really hope, no hope in my situation. And you know what? I'm part smart aleck. I know that. And I say, you know, well, I didn't hear that. They said, hear what? That God was dead. And they look at you. I said, is he dead? There's always hope. Because you serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he's living, and he's living in me, and he has hope, expectation. And I can be confident in the word of the Lord because God, it says, watches over his word to perform it. He's watching. And when I lay claim to his word and I put his word in my mind and in my mouth and I begin to speak and act on that word, I give God substance to work with. If you're going to bake a cake, you've got to have certain ingredients. You've got to have some substance. And if you go through your pantry and you don't have the vanilla extract or you don't have eggs in your refrigerator, then you've got to have enough substance. Well, God works with substance, but he's given us the substance with which he works, the substance that brings faith, builds faith, and helps us to overcome. Now, the minute I have a thought that I shouldn't be thinking, I got to cast that down. So instantly, I'm going to the Word. What does the Word say? 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 Pain is a tremendous purveyor of wrong thinking. Time. If you believe in God and time passes, there are certain obstacles that come up a lot that tend to derail us as we're waiting upon God, as we're holding fast to God, and it's been too long, and I'm tired of this, is too much pain, and I'm tired of lack. I read the cutest testimony of a fellow that's since been pulled out of this ditch, but he lost his job, he lost his wife, he lost his apartment. He lived out of his car, and he knew across his town where the water fountains were that he could take a sponge bath after midnight. Nobody would see him. And he lived like that and sometimes went 3 or 4 days without food. And then one day he had this inspiration, I believe it was God, that he saw people standing on street corners with a sign, homeless, need help. So he went and got him. Wayne says, there's a sign shop in town, a cardboard sign shop, that you go get your homeless sign at, because they all look alike. They look like they're coming from the same place. He went and got that sign, stood on a corner, and somebody came by and passed a brochure into his hand that gave him a name and an address of an organization that would help him. And he went to that organization, said, someone gave me this. Can you help me? They gave him a job. They reestablished him. They helped him get his high school diploma. They helped him get a place of residence after he had finished their different programs. You see, God has a plan for restoration. There's always hope. Even for this guy whose situation was real austere, there was hope for him. There was an idea, a concept that came from God. Stand here with the sign. He didn't stand but one time before God sent an angel of mercy to say, you go to such and such a place. They'll help you. I love those places that have hope for the hopeless, that have hope for the homeless. Now it says we're going to cast down imagination. So we're not going to loiter in any place and say there's no hope for me. I don't know if I'll ever get over this. This is not fair. See, what happens is our thoughts deteriorate. Well, this is really unfair to me. I didn't do anything wrong. And we just get worse and worse and worse. So we're going to cast that down and we're going to the Word. 119th Psalm says, I have hope in the Word. Go to that one and say, I have hope in the Word. It says, forever, O Lord, your Word is settled in heaven. I find God's Word, and I know that settles it. You know, a child that's aggravating you about something, they want something, they ask over and over again. You say, I said no, and that settles it. That's what my mama would have said. I don't know if that's what you would have said. But when mama said that settles it, that means you better not ask for that again. I mean, it's over. It is finished. I use that expression with my children. When I would go down the hall to spend a few minutes with the Lord, and I would make sure the children were set up and squared away and doing what they should be doing and that Wayne was watching and so forth, and then I'd go in the bedroom, and they'd always come and knock on, Mama, knock on the door. So I thought I might have, I just had a concept of 10 minutes of privacy. I mean, so I told them, I settled it. I said, if you knock on this door, you should really go to your daddy. He's here. If you knock on this door, this house better be on fire. I settled that, see. I settled that for good because Wayne was there to help them. And everybody has to have a few minutes. God and I had to have a few minutes when Daddy lived with us. There was no minutes. No minutes. And Daddy had the sharpest hearing on the face of the earth. When Wayne and I wanted to say anything in private, we couldn't say it at even the other end of the house. We had to go stand in the yard. I have never met anybody that heard every... You could whisper and he would know exactly what you said. So, in the middle of the night, in the dark, I would tiptoe. I'd get up. I got so desperate for God. See, if you're going to overcome, you have to establish your walk in the Word. You have to know God is going to perform His Word. He's going to bail you out. He's going to help you. He's going to direct you. Oh, thank God for that. And so I'd tiptoe into the office because it's the other end of the house. And it has all these machines that have, you know, red and blue lights and all that. I mean, you're not exactly in the dark. You're not really in the light. And I could sit against the wall, and then I could not be seen by anybody that was roaming the house, which did happen. And I you're so thirsty, and you're so tired, and you're doing what you have to do. You're doing what's right. We were doing what's right. And I'm just sitting there going, oh, God. Oh, God. But I'm not saying it out loud, because Daddy would hear you. You know, why does that happen to people? I can smell anything 10 blocks off and tell you what it is. Most of my family has the sharpest sense of smell. Their sensory perception through the nose is absolutely mind-boggling. It's amazing. And Daddy was very sharp with his nose, but also with his hearing. That didn't happen to me. That would have been good, been better than the nose thing. I was traveling with Daddy, and three or four cars up, a man was smoking a cigar, and Daddy said, "There's a cigar." About a half a mile away. It was, too. And the wind doesn't have to be blowing. So you have heavenly resources. This is not a natural battle. This is not a matter of what you can see or what you can smell or what you can hear. It's a matter of what do you believe about the living God who dwells within. And take Him at His word and find His word. Now the second resource is the cross. Go instantly to the cross. Find out what Jesus did. We had that wonderful scripture in Numbers where the people sinned against God and they came and confessed their sin to Moses, and Moses prayed for them, and God said, build a brass pole and put a snake on the pole, snake being a type of sin and the sacrifice for sin through Jesus Christ. And He said, everyone who looks will live. It really pays to spend a lot of time looking at your cross scriptures. Isaiah 53, we covered that very in depth last week. Wonderful example. Look at the cross. Look at what was done there. Look at, surely He had borne our griefs, sickness, weakness, and distress, and carried our sorrow and pain of punishment. Yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. By His stripes we are healed. And spend time there and look at the cross and look at the cross. See, show the cross to the devil. He keeps whispering in your ear. I said, let me read this to you, Satan. Sit down, let me read this. He hates that. Those are your first two weapons. Now, we're doing this because we've got to cast down this imagination, this reasoning that's against the knowledge of God, that's higher than the knowledge of God, or thinks it is, projects itself as higher. We got to get rid of that. We just can't say, you know, I'm going, you'd be surprised what thoughts people have to get rid of. We won't say that in public. Hebrews. Look at Hebrews chapter 12. Now, this is point three, and we're going to consider Jesus. You know, you waste your time considering the pain. The pain won't go away because you're thinking about it. And the finances are not improved because you keep thinking, well, I don't know what I'm ever going to do. What I'm ever going to do. They're not going to improve. You can say, oh, Father, we know You meet all my need out of riches and glory. We have given, it's given unto us, good measure. God, think about the word. Think about the cross, the sacrifice. Think about the blood. Cover the trail of blood. Follow the blood from the cross to the altar of heaven where Jesus laid it so that the new covenant was in force. Follow the blood. Follow the cross. Very, very important. You see, I have to make a decision. I have to decide. My thinking is stinking thinking today. I have thoughts in my mind that are not edifying. They're not building me up. They're going to destroy me if I keep thinking about them. I have got to change my mind. I go to the word. I go to the cross. And then I go to Jesus. And that's what this, I'm going to read you a couple translations, but look at your King James. Verse 2, looking unto Jesus. That word means to look attentively. You've talked to somebody and they weren't really paying attention to you. You could tell they're looking over your shoulder at something or somebody, something's moving back there, and you're every now and then they look at you and go, But they're not looking attentively. That's why mothers say to children, look in my eyes. I saw a mother do that. She said, look in my eyes. Look in mama's eyes. She meant to have their attention. I loved it. I tried, you know, that doesn't work on Wayne. I tried that. He doesn't obey. Look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. I'm not supposed to be thinking about the pain that I'm in. I'm supposed to be thinking about the pain that he bore for me. Look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. Pay attention. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, the highest example of faith is Jesus himself. We have in chapter 11, we have Moses, we have Abraham, we have Sarah, we have Gideon, we have a barrage of people who walked by faith and not by sight. And then we come to chapter 12 where he highlights Jesus. There isn't a stronger example of faith than Jesus. One who came in obedience to the Father, who lived in obedience to the Father, who died in obedience to the Father, who was raised from death and ascended by the power of the Father, who trusted the Father when the Father turned his back on him because of sin to allow the payment to be made and to raise him up triumphant out of hell. He lived by faith in his Father. He lived by the will of God. Now that's what I'm going to do. The highest example of faith is Jesus himself. So I'm going to look at Jesus, and that's what this passage says. Look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. Then verse 3, consider him that endured. See, you think you're enduring. The word enduring and the word impatience are the same, come from the same root word. It means to hang in there. Consider him that hung in there. He hung in there. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed, Father, not my will, but thine be done. He said, is there any other way to do this? Is it possible that this could be removed? And he said, yeah, but one translation says, yet, Father, what are you, whatever you want. You think you're enduring. I've been in situations I knew I was enduring. But when I go to the endurance of Jesus, I find I wasn't enduring very much at all. Nobody threatened my life. See, it's a matter of what you're looking at, what you're considering, what you're thinking about. The word contemplate could be used there. Contemplate Jesus. Not I'm in so much pain. Still. Not in my finances are a mess. Not in my children ignore me. Nobody speaks to me. Not in my neighbor keeps causing trouble over and over and over again. Have you ever had one of those neighbors? We've never had any neighbors, so my experience is not personal. The songwriter said, I have a message in my heart. Hallelujah. It's only that you look and live. Look and live. Look and live. Look to Jesus now and live. And if I keep my eyes on him and what he did and what he endured, I'm not enduring what he endured. Consider him. Contemplate. Think. I like what one pastor said. He said, if you can't get your thinking straightened out and you know it's wrong, you call your best friend and you say, I have the worst thinking, worst thought in my mind today. I want you to help me. I do believe in the help of Holy Ghost friends. I don't believe in the help of friends. I do not believe in the help of friends. I believe in the help of Holy Ghost friends. Makes all the difference. Consider him that endured. Opposition, the word in King James composition, contradiction. Lest you be what? Wearied and faint in your mind. I mean, you just think you have had it. You are on your face. This is as far as I can go. I can't get rid of this thought. Weary, 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 tired, and faint. When you're faint, you're not moving. You're not doing anything. You're totaled out. The translators use the word, lest you faint, stop trying, give up. That was why the devil kept hitting you with that thought. He wants you to give up. He wants you to surrender to that thought. He wants you to know that that's just, well, you know, that's just the way it is here. That's just the way my life's always been. You heard that one? You didn't say it, did you? Oh, I hope not. Now, I brought my this is eight translations, one of my favorite resources, Contemporary Parallel. This one says, I can't read my glasses anymore. Think about Jesus' example. He held on. When wicked people were doing evil things to him, so he did not get tired and stop trying. He held on. He endured. That's what endured means. He held on. Now, this is the contemporary English says, keep your mind on Jesus. He put up with many insults. Keep your mind on Jesus. You won't get discouraged and give up. That's why we're talking about keeping our mind on Jesus. So you won't be discouraged. So you won't give up. So you won't surrender. Now, the Message Bible has to be exceedingly abundantly above. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race we're in. Study how he did it. Study how he did it. Study how he did it. See, I'm studying the doctor's report and the prescription and the insurance and the pain. And I hope I sleep tonight. And what would help me sleep tonight? I'm studying a lot of things, but I'm not studying Jesus, who both began and finished this race we're in. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed. He was headed to the right hand of the throne of God to finish the sacrifice, be raised triumphant. Never lost sight of that. See, I never lose sight of it. I'm God's kid. And I shall behold him. And when I behold him, I'll be like him, for I'll see him as he is. I never lose sight of who I am, of who redeemed me, who claimed me, of in whose kingdom I walk, and by whose kingdom I stand. He had an exhilarating finish in and with God. He could put up with anything along the way. Cross, shame, whatever. He could put up with anything. He's our example. We're considering him. We're contemplating him. He could put up with anything. I tell you what, I won't put up with that another minute. Frequently you hear that. I can't put up with that. I say, why not? I put up with a lot of things I just soon not had to put up with. You ever been there and done that? I put up with my knee for a year. I drug my right knee around, drug my right knee around, drug my right knee around. My sister-in-law called. She didn't know I was having knee trouble. She wanted to walk around Lake Hollingsworth. And I said, how long will it take you? Because she's taller than I am, and she walks all the time. Okay, I walk never. She said, 45 minutes. I said, I can't go. I didn't want to faint and fall out. You keep thinking the wrong thoughts, you'll eventually faint and fall out. You'll get weary, you'll get tired, your thinking will upend you. Now, he's there in the place of honor, right alongside God. When you find yourself flagging in faith, you know the word flagging? You know when you're flagging, you're just pooped, you're just tired, you just can't go on, you've done everything you know to do, when you find yourself flagging. Well, we should have already been in the Word. We should have recognized the flag's being lowered and getting the Word. Look at the Word, look at the cross. Go over the story of Jesus again, item by item. I love that. Go over the story again. See, you find yourself faint. You find yourself weary. You find yourself ready to give up, ready to quit. You find yourself discouraged is one word they use. Go over the story of Jesus again, item by item. Look at the long litany of hostility he plowed through. That's why I'm looking at him. He plowed through. He endured opposition. He maintained the will of God. This will shoot adrenaline into your soul. That's the mind. You want to faint, or do you rather have adrenaline? This will shoot adrenaline. I love that. Shoot adrenaline into your soul. So here we are. We have a thought. It's bombarded us over and over and over and over again. We're ready to quit. We are weary. We're tired. We're discouraged. Why has this happened to me? The minute you start asking why, you're probably in some trouble. I said, because the devil's alive and well. And he hit you in the head with his thought till you caved in. So every time you have that thought, quote a scripture. Every time you have that thought, read a scripture on the cross. Every time you have that thought, go over the life of Jesus, it says, item by item, again and again. Now, I'm the family financial. When my sister and Wayne and I eat out, I'm the one who calculates the bill. I can do all that in my head. I can look at the bill and say, okay, you owe me $8.50, and Wayne and I pay the rest, or you owe me $11, or you paid for something the other day, so you don't owe me anything. I keep all that in my head. And I'm extremely accurate, usually. But I look at that bill item by item. I don't want to charge her for what we ate. I'm very careful. I go item by item. I'm a water drinker. She's a Coke drinker. Do you know they charge for those? Cheap water's cheaper. I wouldn't be a Coke drinker if I was a soft drink drinker because I don't really like Cokes. I would go straight for Mountain Dew. Forget the Coke thing. I go over it item by item, make sure I'm accurate, make sure that when I tell her what she owes me, that's really what she owes me. He said, take the life of Jesus. Okay, you're in trouble. You're in a struggle. Your mind is giving you a hard time. Take the life of Jesus and go over it. What does it say? Item by item. Now, that's why I did this. Right here on this piece of paper. It's interesting how God works because this came to me before I found this scripture. And I had this ready for Suzanne to type for us. And I was meditating. And then I saw where God was going. Now, this is just the item by item list of the life of Jesus. Supernatural birth. Therefore, the Lord himself gave you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. Call his name Emmanuel. If you go, John 1:14, it says the word was made flesh. The word was made flesh. God, the word who was in heaven, long before the world was created, there were Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. I'm going to do this quick. We'll come back to it. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. The Word was made flesh. Supernatural birth. Here they are, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in heaven before the world was created. Da, da, da. Jesus, the Word, is going to come to earth, and he's going to become a part of a human body through the faith of Mary. When the angel appeared to Mary, she said, be it unto me according to your word. She received the word. That was a ridiculous word a virgin would conceive. Nothing could have been dumber. You know, God doesn't have to follow the rules of nature. That's why they stood in the fiery furnace, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and didn't burn. Because God's not confined to natural law. He made natural law. And he goes by supernatural law. Okay, John 1:14, you want to add that to your list. The word was made flesh. It was made flesh. It was made flesh. That word made means it became flesh, it came into being. The Word who was Spirit, who was God in heaven for all eternity, Jesus was there. Jesus, the Word, became flesh, was made into flesh, came into being in human flesh. Now here's the Spirit being that had always been. Here's the physical body that was made by God through the faith of Mary. Now, Jesus is going to walk 33 and a third years and live a very obedient life. He's going to obey the Father. I gave you two. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. Behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased. Hear you him. You would never say I'm well pleased if you couldn't trust him. If sometimes up, sometimes down, sometimes level with the ground. You know that poem? Jesus himself said, he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. Now, look at Hebrews 10. Let me show you something else. We're going over this item by item. Why? Because it says if you have a dilemma, if you have a trauma, if you have an obstacle, if you are involved in some wrong thinking, if you're fighting bad thoughts, take the word, go to the cross, and go item by item over the life of Jesus. It says if you don't want to be weary and faint in your mind, after it's bombarded enough, does tend to be weary. You've got to have an arsenal to stand up to the constant barraging of your mind. Are y'all out there? Okay, Hebrews 10, I'll show you two verses. Verse 5. Wherefore, when he, that's Jesus, comes into the world, Jesus came to the world, the Spirit being Jesus had always been, came to the body through the faith of Mary. Wherefore, he comes into the world, he says, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me, constructed or framed. Same thing in John 1:14. God made a body. He made a body. And then it goes down, Jesus' words himself. Verse 7, lo, I come in the volume of the book to do thy will, O God. Come to do thy will. And if you go through the book of John, you will see many, many times Jesus said, I only do the will of my Father. So he did please the Father. Now, if you go to the sacrificial death, he comes to the cross. When he comes to the cross and dies, he dies for our sin. His body's placed in a tomb, but the spirit man descends into hell to make the sacrifice. Now, that sacrifice was not for his benefit. He could have stayed in heaven with his foot propped up on the throne. He saw a man's need and he loved man enough to want to rescue and deliver. Being found in fashion as a man. He was found in a man because God prepared the body. He humbled himself, became obedient unto death. Became obedient. He was obedient in life and obedient in death. See, we're going over this item by item because we don't want our mind to get weary. We want our mind, as well as our spirit, to know this is what happened. This is what God did for me. Who his own self bare our sins, own body and tree, we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by his stripes you were healed. Now, after 3 days and three nights, he came up out of hell triumphant, having spoiled principalities and powers, a resounding victory. That's spoil, rob, strip, paralyze the powers of hell. He came up, picked up his body in the garden where Mary saw him. He says, don't touch me, Mary. I've not yet ascended to my Father. He's still spirit, soul, and body. He's going to the Father to leave his blood, we have that in Hebrews, on the altar of heaven. And then he's going to come back down and walk on earth for 40 days, and he's going to ascend to the Father's right hand to a place of glory. And I gave you those scriptures. The more we go over this, the more it's embedded in our heart and in our mind, the more resources we have to stand. Here's the resurrection in Mark. Be not affrighted. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He's risen. He's not here. Behold, there's a place where they laid him. He, seeing this, or spake of the resurrection of Christ, his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. His flesh was in the tomb, was preserved and corrected, or came back to full life when Jesus came and stepped into that body and came out of that tomb. Now, he had a dramatic ascension, and that's in Acts chapter 1. Item by item, line by line, when they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go in heaven. He ascended into heaven and they saw him. And now he sits at the Father's right hand as our exalted Lord. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made the same Jesus whom you've crucified Lord and Christ. It's when I make him Lord in my life that he begins to work mightily in me. When I hold fast to him and his word and the cross and what he did in life and what he did for me and how he stood. It says he endured. He ran that race with patience and he endured. He hung in there in spite of the opposition. Now you may not have somebody coming against you. Maybe you do, but you have sickness that comes against you. The devil's not a friend. He's an enemy. And all these things that come against you, you have the resources. The weapons of our warfare are mighty. You have the resources to defeat those. And if you need somebody to help you, you grab your Holy Ghost friend, not your friend, your Holy Ghost friend. One lady had a very, very unbelieving mother, and she kept telling me, but it's my mother. You know, I don't want to knock anybody's mother. I'm a nice person. But she keeps listening to her mother, she's going to die. Because mama's wrong. Amen. So you better pick your friends. You can't pick your relatives. So you can ignore the relative and pick the Holy Ghost friend. And don't write down that I said that. Philippians 2. Wherefore God also highly exalting him, highly exalting him. There he sits at the Father's right hand, waiting for the cry of the Father to come back and get the church. Giving him a name above every name, he's been highly exalted. The supernatural birth, the obedient life, the sacrificial death, the resounding victory, the glorious resurrection, the dramatic ascension, and the exalted Lord. That came to me in the spirit. And then I was wandering around trying to connect the dots. When I saw the Message Bible said, if you want to not be weary, you want to not, anybody want to faint? Has anybody ever fainted? Sixth grade, we went to see the Passion Play. Middle of day, very hot. I'd been sick. And all of a sudden, I thought, I mean, I was really, and the lady next to me, the girl said, are you all right? Are you all right? Well, no, wasn't really. And they scooped me up and took me up, set me in the shade and all that. Missed the whole Passion Play, you know. But it wasn't a fun experience. Fainting is not fun. And it's a lot better to faint physically than to faint in your mind. Has your mind ever fainted? I mean, it just won't support you. It just won't hold you up. It just keeps going astray. Spiritual Alzheimer's. Who wants that? Who needs that? We do want to win, don't we? We do have the resources to win, don't we? Is winning automatic? No. Winning depends upon how much time and effort you put into it. Now I say, Lord, I'm reading this. Holy Ghost, I'm reading this. You explain this to me. I'm trusting you to guide me. I'm trusting you to enumerate. I'm trusting you to do what I can only do so much. I'm not trusting in my strength or my power. And that's very, very important. You're not trusting in yourself. You're trusting in the Word. You're trusting in the life of Jesus to inspire you. You're trusting in the Holy Ghost to work in you. Now, this only works if next time you have a rotten thought, you have a rotten day, you take one of these resources and work it out. It don't work because we talked about it. So that was a good speech. No, it works because you work it. You got that? I have to work it. Middle of the night. Hands in the air. Wayne's a sound sleeper. It wouldn't matter if he wasn't. I have my hands in the air. I'm saying, Lord, you're my shepherd. I was in so much agony, I shall not want. I walk with you in green pastures by still waters. You're restoring my soul. He restores your soul through the Word, by the Spirit, through the life of Jesus, through your knowledge of the blood. Soul restoration. When Wayne restores a piece of furniture, he's got some new parts and some old parts. They usually take away the springs. The upholsterer does that, and he does the woodwork. And there's a lot of new and a lot of old, and it's beautiful. Well, we're not getting rid of your mind. We're not giving you a new mind. We're restoring what's there. Can your mind be restored? Can it be restored? Yes. Can you be restored? Yes. How is that going to happen? By the Word? The cross? And by considering, contemplating, looking attentively, item by item. Let me read you that one more time so I quit hollering. Just love this. And so I can see the print. He never lost sight of where he was headed. Where are you headed? Victory. Exhilarating finish with God. How would you like an exhilarating finish in your situation? Whoo, it sounds right to me. He could put up with anything. I never have to put up with that. I always say you don't. Seems like you do. Cross, shame, whatever. See, you're strong in the Lord. You can put up with anything. The Lord is your strength and your salvation deliverance. Now he's there in the place of honor right alongside God. So when you find yourself flagging in your faith, that means you're going under. Go over the story of Jesus item by item. Go over the long litany of hostility he plowed through. That'll shoot adrenaline into your soul. Is that great? Is that great? I love that. Raise your hand to heaven. Stand to your feet and shout a minute. If you can't shout over that, your shouter's broke. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Father. We thank you. 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 Oh, hallelujah. You know, it wouldn't hurt to pray, Father, I'm here with the Word for a shot of adrenaline. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for helping us, for seeing our need, for making abundant provision. You know, it says flagging in your faith when you're flagging in your faith. It means when you take your white flag of surrender out, I'm done. I've had it. This is not working. Put that flag up. Burn that flag. This is victory. This is mind control with God's Word.
Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. The devil's so mean. I'm talking to a lady that weighs about 100 pounds, and she's telling me how fat she is and how fat she's always been. Where'd she didn't get that idea by looking at the mirror. She got it from the devil. And he kept saying, you know, you're heavy. You're too heavy. I know why she thought that. I know who planted that seed in her. You know, the devil uses people sometimes. Well, she wasn't too heavy. She had never been. I've known her all my life. She's never been too heavy. Where'd she get that thought? The devil kept saying, you're so heavy. You're so heavy. You're so heavy. You need a diet. You need to watch your diet. You need to watch your diet. A very fine man of God, fine man, told me teaching is very boring. He's a good teacher himself. You know where he got that idea? I know, because over the last number of times that I've talked to him, people have come to him and said, you know, we prefer preachers. Teachers are very boring. He heard it until he bought it. They sold it to him. Don't let the devil sell you a thought that's contrary to the word of the living God. Amen. Well, that's enough shouting for one day. God bless you.